This good. Might be the first time that we do video.
Ooh, yeah, I was going to ask, is it going to be video? Again.
Yeah, so Spotify, our friends at Spotify have an amazing feature that let you do like video Spotify, like podcasts now. It's really cool. So definitely. I think, yeah, we might have this one as our first official Spotify video, which will be exciting. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Is this going to be edited?
Oh, I mean, yes. Vaguely. To an extent.
Okay, I mean, like, we can cut this stuff out if you don't want it in, but the editing will be...
the pre-banter is great, though. I love a good bit of banter, bit of bands to start it off. It is. It's what we live for.
We like to start these off with an embarrassing story. So do you have any embarrassing interactions that's happened recently?
Ooh,
safe really space here. It is. You
know? Safe space. No one else will see this ever.
No, that's right. No. That's it. We're all accepting here.
To disappoint, I do not.
No. I don't have
embarrassing issues.
That's fine.
I'm perfect.
That's right. I'm just flawless in every way. I'm just sorry to have to tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, Keely, I'm sure you have something embarrassing, right?
I do. I told you my ordeal this morning.
Last night. Well, we can share the ordeal with everyone now.
Oh, my Lord. So last night I sat down to do some editing. And like I sat there, I was doing it for like 20 minutes or so. And then I thought, I've got my fancy loop deck. Let's break that out. It'll make everything go a little bit faster. Why aren't I using it anyway? So I pull it down off like the shelf thing and I knock my monitor, which knocks a picture of my cat down onto the desk, which then knocks over a glass of water, which tips all over my desk, all over me, all over my loop deck and the floor. So I'm like, Jesus Christ, here we go. I go get a towel to like tidy everything up. The towel's got sand in it, apparently. So now there's sand and water all over my desk and my loop deck.
A great combo.
But literally the beach right there.
Yeah. You brought the beach to your house.
I brought it home. But then I go to lift up my loop deck and like turn it on its side and water starts to leak out of it. And this is an expensive product. This is not cheap. So I'm like,
great.
Fuck. The best way to describe it. So I run into the
kitchen. Wait, I got something for that.
What you got?
Oh, I don't think we heard it.
You didn't? Ah, damn
it. No! Can you reenact the sound for us?
Oh, it was just a bleep button.
That would have been helpful. Yeah. Oh, what a great sound. That was great.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Wasn't that good? Best sound.
Best sound.
But, yeah, I ran into the kitchen to, like, put it in rice. As I put it down on a tray, I grab the rice out, I'm tipping the rice out, and I tip rice all over the floor. So now there's water and rice all over the floor.
And sand.
And sand.
Don't forget sand.
At this point, I'm defeated. Luckily, I have a backup desk chair. So I take the one desk chair that's drenched out into the other room. I sit down. Everything's mostly sorted. And as I go to pull in to my desk to get back into it, I roll over my toe and make it bleed.
Wow.
Yeah. Cherry on top.
I should have just gone to bed at that point.
I think that, yeah, that would have been it for me. I'd have been like, see ya, I'm done. The day is over.
That's it.
So that was a journey.
It was. It was quite.
It was. Does the rice thing actually work? That's something I've heard 50-50.
Water.
It does? Because I've heard some people say it's absolutely, like, just not true. People shove their phones in rice and then get rice all over their phones and then it doesn't actually fix anything.
It has to be, like, uncooked rice.
Yeah.
You're in there with your rice cooker and then you put it in.
Yeah, and then you dump your phone in the rice cooker.
I can't believe it didn't work.
No, it does work. I got this little hack from my mother-in-law. I keep my little container of chicken salt in an airtight container with rice in it because it like makes sure there's no like moisture in it. So you know how when your salt gets all like clumped together?
Yeah.
This prevents it. So that's there you cool. go.
So you could put rice in anything.
Exactly.
Just sounds like rice is pretty great.
Rice is just a miracle cure. What?
Rice is amazing.
Rice cures all.
Rice is the best. Fair enough.
let's go back to blurring the background.
Yeah, I'm like,
I forgot that I left
your washing pile.
Jackets, yep, on the
jacket pile.
Well, it kept the lights making me look weird. Vanity. All right.
Keely.
Let's get into the intro for the podcast. Podcast.
Hold
the
cast.
We hope you had a wonderful New Year and holidays, even though we're like over a month late for like New Year's and holidays. But, you know, I hope you enjoyed it. However you choose to or to not celebrate either of those things. I am one of your hosts. Oh, man, I'm not ready for podcasts this year. Nazi Goring, a.k.a. Keely. I am also joined by my co-host, Chinese Sausage, a.k.a. Sarah. And very special guest, official guest Michael number 13, Curry with Vegetables, a.k.a. Silicon Art Gaming.
Hello.
We like to give weird names.
I like it, yes.
Normally, Sarah will opt for a random name generator based off the person. However,
you were just hungry. Night,
yeah, no, late at night.
Is that
like,
rice?
It's come back. Like a month ago, I got out of the shower and it just came to me. I'm like, I'm going to roll a D100 and we're going to be different meals from my favorite Chinese restaurant.
I like it.
Amazing. And
does the menu actually have 100 items?
It has more than 100.
Oh, wow.
It's massive. So I had to like take half of them out and be like, okay, we're just going to do these ones.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm a Chinese sausage.
You are.
Is there such thing as a Chinese sausage?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I wonder what it entails. Like, what kind of seasoning are we talking? Mm. Like, what have we got
like
here?
Shrimps and tuna chicken in one sausage?
Oh, so apparently it is a sort of blanket term for lots of different types of sausages. So I'm just lots of sausages.
Multiple sausage.
Cacti. yeah, there you go. Apparently the main ingredients are fresh pork or liver. So there you go. Could be all different sorts of sausage.
A liver sausage. Mm.
Interesting.
I mean, I've had fried liver in the past, but not sausage.
What did you rate it? Was it not bad?
Oh yeah, it's really nice. Like
really,
because my parents are Hungarian, so that's one of their not staple dishes, but a dish that they cook.
Yeah,
nice,
delicious. Interesting. It's like pate, but pre pate.
Yeah, it is interesting how like I don't know when it comes to like eating meat. It's like you hear about liver and it's like ugh, but it's like how is that less ugh than like a muscle,
the muscle
you're eating.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
And it's so culture-based. Like, there's so many cultures where it's like, why is that if? Like,
yeah, right?
And then we're just sitting here like, oh, we're precious. Westerners, blah.
We eat like three things, and if it looks green, we don't touch it.
Yep, basically.
If it came from the ground.
There's dirt on it.
My dad has been trying since I was a kid to get me to try offal, like different types of offal. And at one point when I was in high school, my mum cooked beef cheek and it was really tasty. It's such a strange texture, but it was really tasty. And she didn't tell us what it was like until we'd finished the meal. That was beef cheek. And it's good. Like it's good. It's tender. Yeah. It's really nice. But I used to work in a butcher. So I'd seen all the, like the bits of offal and I don't know. There's just something about intestines and stuff that I can't get around.
Just can't get on board. Yeah,
not for me.
Fair enough. I think one thing I'd be on board with is, you know, how they're looking at doing like the lab grown meat now, where they're literally growing meat, and they're reaching a point where it's almost the same, like you wouldn't be able to tell. And I was like, I could get on board with that. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Able to bring in the fats, because that's kind of where the flavor comes in.
It's a good question. I'm not sure a whole bunch about it, but yeah, I just been listening to a podcast where they were talking about, yeah, like the idea of lab grown meat. And I think the way
isn't
that
a rival podcast though?
Oh, I mean, every podcast is a rival podcast. but yeah, they're saying that they've reached a point where, and I guess with the popularity of like plant-based meals and like meat replacement kind of meals, not surprised if they do start to go in that direction. This is a gaming podcast.
yeah.
Or gaming adjacent.
Gaming adjacent.
Technology slash gaming.
Slash sausages, apparently, as well. And rice, yeah. amazing. How have you been today?
Yeah.
So, you've had a nice week. What's been up? How you been?
Sorry, you're talking to me?
Yes. Sorry. I spoke really fast. Sorry.
I've been good. Let's see. What's exciting? What's new? I've got a new monitor coming in today. Pulled the trigger on the new BenQ Zowie 360Hz with Dia.
Lovely.
I'm a bit of an esports gamer, so I tried to, even though I'm an older person now, I try to get every advantage possible.
Absolutely. I mean, you have a gorgeous setup behind you that some people listening could see on their Spotify, perhaps.
True.
Video
feature.
That's right, exactly. definitely believe that you are a gamer.
Thank you.
Definitely checks out. Yeah. did you want to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I'm an avid Twitch streamer. I've actually been on the platform for over 10 years now.
Impressive.
bit of YouTube on the side, and obviously all the social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, all the things, Twitter, etc. And they can obviously find me at Silicon Art Gaming.
That's right.
I'll plug right there. if you don't see it on lower third, that might magically appear right here. I don't know.
I don't either. We'll find out.
I'm definitely into gaming, into computers. I love building computers myself. As you might see on this lovely video right here, there's a couple of PCs next to me. Mm-hmm. These ones are my latest pride and joy. A little bit older now, but they still work perfectly fine. They're both running 10900Ks.
Nice.
The gaming PC is running a 3090, and I think the streaming PC is a 2080 Super.
Mm-hmm.
They're fully custom water cooled, and temps never go above 50 degrees. It's great.
Love that. Nice and cool. What got you into like PCs and tech and building and stuff like that? Is something you've done for a long time?
Yeah, I've done it for quite a while. My first PC was actually a 486 back in the day.
Gosh.
Not many people are going to know what that is.
I was going to say, I don't even know what that is. That is before my time.
Yeah, this is back when MS-DOS and Windows
3.1. Yeah, good. Love my DOS.
The very first computer I had was, it only had DOS. Had some games, but only had DOS, and it was a green and white screen. You had to text-based type every single command.
Oh my gosh.
It was very cool. Even had a tutorial talking about how a computer works at that stage.
Wow. My lord. Amazing.
The hard drive that was in that was like an iPhone and a half thick, if you point it this way. It
was chunky.
It was,
yeah. Oh, my gosh. Love that. You must feel like such a hacker. When you think of a hacker screen, that's what you think. Yeah, that's it.
I really enjoyed tinkering around with computers that back then. To upgrade from a 386 to a 486. These were like small incremental upgrades and different socket types and things like that. So it's very technical but very fun. I really enjoyed it. That's my big hobby is building PCs.
Mm-hmm.
And water cooling is always fun as well. It's always good to push limits, see how far you can overclock something. get the maximum performance, seeing you're literally paying for it anyway, you might as well.
That's it. Exactly right.
Yeah, I've got, I'm going to reference my little blurb here I have on my own website, siliconartgaming.com. and actually, I wrote here so I don't forget when I get questions like this. The first video game I actually played was Xenon 2.
Yes.
Xenon 2 Mega Blast, which was a top-scrolling game where you'd be like a little spaceship and you'd be scrolling up the screen, but basically this, you're in the same position and the screen would be moving down. Moving back and forth and things like that. And that was back when you didn't actually have physical speakers on a PC. You just have that one little internal speaker. And so you get those 8-bit sounds.
Oh my god.
And so it sounded great then. I'm like, wow, it's like basically like original techno music in a sense.
Yeah.
Or EDM. And then I found the game in an emulator and you play it now. The sounds are just so harsh.
So different, yeah.
It makes your ears bleed, to be honest.
Yeah, totally.
It's just not the same. But yeah, it was lots of fun back then. And I was like, wow, let's try it again now. And like, no.
No, not quite the same.
Some things just don't.
You can't go back.
No.
Yeah. Was it always PCs with you? Because a lot of people who come on will say, oh, I started off with, you know, Super Nintendo or things like that. Has it always been just PC, like straight PCs with you, or have you had a bit of a console phase?
Yeah, I definitely had a console phase. So I had, let's see, how did it go? I had the 386, 486. I went all the way up to an X86, which was the highest in that platform tier at the time. Then later on, we went to, a friend of ours gave us a Pentium 1.
Oh my gosh.
And, my dad actually used that for some graphic design work.
Oh, amazing.
Graphic designer. And I played some games on that, and that was pretty cool. Then my first gaming PC was actually an Athlon XP from back in the day. Had an ATI graphics card. I couldn't tell you which one, but this was before the AMD Radeon kind of phase. Of graphics cards, and that was kind of the be all and end all at the time, and I couldn't remember if it was an actual one of the OG Thermaltake cases that I had back then, to be honest.
Wow, yeah, I mean, this would have been like
92, 95, around there, when that one was. It was someone listening might be able to put a comment wherever comments go. if they remember this case, it was all brushed aluminum, and it had a whole lot of removable drive bays on the front. It was a full tower case, had a side Perspex window, and it had these two metal flaps that would open and close on the side as an aesthetic to make it look cooler, but you could open it up, and you had a little drawer for accessories, and you could put, you know, heaps of DVD drives or CD-ROM drives and things like that there.
I feel like we did have a case that looked like that back in the day, but I can't.
Yeah, I tried Googling it recently and I could not find it.
Yeah.
But it was very cool. Yeah.
Cool.
I honestly miss the drive trays. Like, I miss having a CD, like a disk drive and all that stuff. I don't know, there was something really nice about it. And now whenever I get something on a disk, it's like, oh, I can't use this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Not anymore. If you're going to get a stick, where's the download link?
Yeah. It's like I always used to remember because as a kid, I mean, what I say as a kid, even now, I love The Sims 2. It's like my favorite game in The Sims franchise. And like with all The Sims games, obviously, there's all the different expansion packs. So yeah, like, you know, I'd buy an expansion pack and I'd get home and I'd like put the disc in, and there was always like four discs, so like when it ran out it was like insert disc 2, and then you have to take it out, put the disc in. But like I remember like waiting for it to install and like reading through the guide to be like, oh, this is what I'm gonna get to do, and it's like that's just not a thing.
Read this.
yeah And it was like the best, and like it's just not that experience just isn't a thing anymore.
No, absolutely.
You have that, you buy it,
download it, and you're like, oh,
and then you play
okay, cool, I've got it. Yeah, I've got another 300 games in my list I should just play. Okay, I would switch.
What? Yeah.
Not the same. Like, back in the day, especially even now, you know, you got console games, you'd buy the disc, you pay your $60 or $80, and then you can play that till you finish it.
Exactly.
You just paid so much money for this thing. It's your one latest game. You've played all your collection.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's, to be honest, it's rare that I finish a game. Unless it really hooks me, it's very rare to fully complete a game.
I think that's pretty fair. I think it's a pretty common experience because there's just this sense of like over consumerism. It's like there's so much there, I have to have it all or I'll miss out. And yeah. So then you buy everything. But yeah, like, I don't know, like the games we all kind of grew up with, that experience is so like, I don't know, like it I feel like it's a little bit of a stronger experience in my opinion than absolutely. Any game I've played in the last like 5-10 years. I just feel like I haven't had that same connection really to many, apart from the only one they would say would be Mass Effect and Dragon Age. They're the only games that I've had the same like love for, like I used to as a kid. But apart from that, yeah, they just don't, doesn't hit the same, does it?
Game recently that I did actually complete, or two games actually, Control. I fully completed Control.
I heard that was quite
very
good.
Very good, especially if you've got like a rig that can do ray tracing. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Deathloop. Deathloop was really good too.
Okay.
It's a thinking game because you've got to go through a whole variety of puzzles to get to the end result, but it was really good too.
Okay, cool. Those are both games that were on my radar, but like, you know, as we were saying, there's just so many games. So much to do.
It's overwhelming. The last game I finished was Red Dead Redemption 2.
Ooh.
Yeah. That took you a while to get through.
I was trying to balance at the same time. It is. There's a lot of things I missed. I missed a lot of like side quests and stuff because I got really sucked into the story. And if you look at like the Reddit, for example, you see all the people saying that they've played it multiple times over. And when they do, they go up to like 2 or 3 chapters into the main story, and they just do side missions.
Oh, right.
Because the story is like good, and then it starts getting kind of sad towards
the end. Yes, okay. It does.
And people don't want to relive that again. They're like, I'm going to put this off as long as I can and just stay in the happy part.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're spending hours and hours and hours doing everything they can
to avoid it.
And then they go rescue
my. That's the same thing with me, and I still haven't finished it. It's Cyberpunk. Yeah. I'm at the mission where if you do this one mission, it's the end. So yes. I've got the cyber psychos I have to try to kill. I'm just like, and a couple of other side missions that I'm just trying to do everything, live in the world.
As long as possible.
As long as possible to that last mission.
Mm-hmm.
I probably replayed again with like a female character because I picked a male to start with. Because obviously the romantic aspects of the game have you different results. You get locked results.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah, which was surprising and disappointing, to be honest.
Yeah, I was a little surprised about that as well.
I picked every path I thought would be the best option. Like, nope.
Well, yeah.
Hey, then.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally understand that. I started Cyberpunk, but I almost got overwhelmed with that game. There was just so much. Like, it was just like, I don't know. I never really kept going with it, which is a shame. Because I did really like parts of it. Like, I would just walk around and be like, so pretty. It was just so, everything felt so alive and like, yeah, so pretty. And I was like,
that's what happened with me with The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
300 hours into it. I only got to 30% of the way of the completion of the game. Then some other game came out. I played that, came back. There was some update in the meantime. I got to the point in the game where I got the best armor you could get, best gear, best everything. It was perfect. And then with some weird patch, came in. I have the items in my inventory. It says I can't use them because I'm not the right level.
Oh no!
Like, are you joking? You know how long it took to get them.
Damn, that's so rough.
I'm gonna start again. But now there's like 3 or 4 expansions, and there's so many more side quests. That's my downfall when playing games. It's like, okay, I want to make sure I don't miss out on anything.
So
I do all the side quests. And then the game takes so long to finish, kind of never get back to it because other things come out.
Unless you're really hooked.
So
it's absolutely tough.
If there's a game you want to complete, you're like, okay, side quests are cool and all, but I got to get to the end.
No, that's it. There's a time where you're like, you know what? I just can't. I just need to just finish this game. Like, I just need to finish it. Like, it's dragging on too long. I get that.
And
for sure.
Witcher almost punishes you if you don't do the side quests. Like, there's many times where you go up to it and it's like, oh, nah, like, I know this is the next step in the story, but you're not high enough level, so go do some side quests. And it's like, I've been playing for so long. Just let me progress.
Yeah.
keep going.
Yeah.
Let me play the way I want to play it, which can be kind of hard. It's like almost the same as just linear, because it's like I still don't get to make all of my own decisions.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Like the card game in the Gwent.
Mm. Yes.
So fun. You want to collect all the cards. You want to make sure you do those side quests to you know, do the battles in a sense, or the games to get the rest of the collection. And then if you don't, then you'll be like, oh, if only I had this, I could have won that last battle or whatever it was.
Mm, yeah, I think also that it gets to a point in the game where you actually get locked out of getting certain cards too.
Yes.
So I remember getting towards the end and just kind of forgetting about it for a while. And then a thing came up and it was like, quest failed. And I was like, what? My quest? What quest? And then I looked and it was like a bunch of cards. And if you didn't get the cards before a certain point, you just couldn't get them.
Yep.
And I was then, like, well.
Yeah. It was the first mission. Not the first, but like first little bit of the mission where, the Baron, the first guy that you verse, and whatever decision you make, or a certain decision I made anyway, I couldn't get a card from him.
Mm.
I did the wrong decision. And then I was like, well, okay, I can't get that card now.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. So I just gave up on progressing the Gwent storylines because I'm like, I can't complete them.
Yep. Right.
I don't care anymore. Because I'm like, I'll come back to playing Gwent. Because the option is like, do you want to go do his main storyline now and finish his section, or do you want to play Gwent? And it's like, well, I want to play the story. That's what I'm here for. So I go do that. And then he like goes off or whatever. And it's like, that's it.
Yep.
You can't play that Gwent game now.
Yeah.
See you later.
And I wonder if this is what has led to the rise in genres like battle royales in a way, because it's the sort of game that you can just sit down and play for a couple hours and you don't have this overwhelming like, oh my god, there's so much to do, I'm not going to get it finished, and I just want to relax after work and the kids are annoying me and I just want to get something finished. Yeah. Like, unless, you know, I wonder if that's
a sweaty
the
person and you buy the battle pass and you have to finish the battle pass because you pay.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Me every time. I'm like, I like one skin in the battle pass. Guess I'm buying the whole thing.
and then you're pressured to go back.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And let's say it's a new game that comes out. You're like, oh, this game's awesome. I'm super hyped for it. I'll buy the battle pass. I would totally come back and play it all. And then you've got three other battle passes in other games you're playing.
Yeah.
I haven't got time every day to do a day.
Every single battle pass. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. So what got you going back into whatever, I don't know what we're talking about. What got you into streaming? Because you've been doing it for a really, really long time. So you've seen streaming through its entire almost sort of evolution. So what got you into streaming, you know, 10 years ago? Because, I mean, when I got into streaming, everyone was into streaming. So that's why I got into streaming. So what for you during that time drew you to streaming? How did you even hear about it?
Yeah, totally. So back in the day, before Twitch was around, there was a service called Ustream, which was kind of one of the only free streaming platforms that you could stream on. It was very new. Not many people had decent internet. We still had like ADSL. So you'd have like, you could do, it's a miracle if you could do 720p.
Mostly
480 streams.
Yeah.
I was actually at my local church at the time, and they were doing media, so they had multiple camera setups and everything, and they'd record things for Optus Vision back in the day. I don't know if Optus Vision still exists.
I've never heard of it.
It was Optus's cable TV option.
Okay.
They had like a Christian channel on there that would play different things of content from around the world. And we, the church, had the option, and we produced episodes basically for that show, which was pretty cool. And that definitely got me into, you know, camera work and editing and lighting and that sort of stuff. So that was where I had my big start in the media space.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like, your bedroom YouTube, you know, you've got a little vlog camera kind of thing. It's a little bit more serious. You're on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be correct. I was also the sound engineer at that church. So had a big audio experience there as well. So that kind of molded into media, which was just everything.
Yeah.
And so Yeah, and I came across this thing called Ustream. And so because we had, we were doing filming and everything like that anyway for the episodes, we figured, look, you know, let's, for the people who couldn't make it into that session or that, you know, service, we could stream it out to them, people could watch. And yeah, people tuned in and were streaming it at 480p on an ADSL connection and people watched.
Wow.
And then later on, and so I started streaming, I think I started streaming on that. And then Twitch came out, but it wasn't Twitch, it was Justin TV.
That's right.
And then, yeah, and then I think I was just, as it transitioned over to Twitch, is where I actually jumped on the platform of Twitch itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd play. You don't have, back then, to get streaming a console or a PC or anything.
Yeah.
Really tough. You had to get capture card boxes and breakout cables, and you'd have to split your signal from your TV and to your capture box and then record that. It was it was tough. And OBS was really flaky back then, and everyone, not everyone, but people tried to use OBS, but XSplit was
XSplit.
And you'd have, and later on they had like a premium feature, so you'd pay a subscription and you get better, well, I don't know what they gave you, but better things. And so yeah, I used XSplit for a while, but then you know, you needed a PC to be able to encode it and stream it out. So I had I think I had an old Mac Pro at the time, one of those big tower silver ones.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So I'm also an Apple enthusiast as well, because of all the media things and the graphic design and that sort of stuff. It was very Apple industry funded back then.
That's it, yeah.
And you couldn't play many games. I think I could. I think you could play Diablo.
Oh, really? That's wow.
There's only like a handful of games that work on Mac.
Yeah.
And Hearthstone. Hearthstone, I think Diablo and Hearthstone worked. But that's when, because I only had a Mac, you couldn't play many games. My first console actually was a PS2. My friends had Nintendos and 64s and that sort of stuff. But no, first one was PS2. But, oh, this is cool. And I got right into it. I got Gran Turismo and the steering wheel and the pedals and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so fun.
Went hardcore.
And I was even, and that's when the PS2 did have an option where you could buy, I forget the name, the term they used, but it was like a networking kit that you could attach to the back with an Ethernet port. So you could play online. It's like kind of like a development kit in a sense. So that was pretty cool. I was looking into that, and then people started raving about Halo.
Of course. And
at the time, I was working at a, where was it? It was a like a computer shop, but more like a wholesaler that you you build PCs, basically. You build PCs for customers who do orders. It was a very good experience, because it was like a basically, yeah, you have a tub of the hardware, you have a checklist of things you'd have to put through the PC through its paces and make sure you do a burn-in test and did it pass and all this sort of stuff. So that was a really good experience. Enjoyed that, because I was into computers as well. So
that's
That worked out really well. And yeah, and even everyone there was talking about Halo and how awesome it is, and they'd drag their, you know, 50-inch CRT TV to their friend's house. And
Switch.
I haven't got a Switch. So you get a Switch and you link up all your Xboxes together. So many hours. So I sold my PlayStation 2 and all the games and all the accessories, and then bought an Xbox. This was, I only had the PlayStation for like 6 months or something.
Wow.
And then jumped into the Xbox world. I haven't renewed it in a long time, but at the time I was one of the first people to actually get Xbox Live.
It
was really hard. I really wanted the ones that, like, the accounts from America, because I was, you know, we still had the internet then, obviously, so you could see people with their special starter kits, and you had the clear orange memory card, and that's the one that you'd get in like the headset pack and the first live code, and you get an account. And that's when I had to figure out, okay, what's my, you know, online handle gonna be?
That's right, what's your gamer tag?
That's it, my gamer tag. And I was like, what should I pick? Yeah, this is going to be identity forever.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed, this is the history of how my gamertag happened. There's a really good movie called The Pirates of Silicon Valley.
Okay.
Now,
if you haven't seen it, you have to see it. It's a must. It's all about how Bill Gates and Steve Jobs started building Microsoft and Apple.
Yep.
And there's a scene in there where Steve Jobs invited Bill Gates over to his house to show off the new Apple Mac, the first Macintosh. And Steve Jobs referred to the Apple as silicon art. And I was like, hey, that's kind of me. It's
that's techy, a cool phrase.
You know, computers, anything, any chip, any technology item has silicon in it because it's got a, it's the basis of it. So that's how I got my name from that movie.
That's awesome. I love that. That's such a good backstory. And I mean, I would argue that, you know, the gorgeous systems that you build and you clearly have an eye for nice aesthetics from, you know, your background and your panels and your website. So I definitely think you bring the art into it as well yourself. So very fitting.
And that's kind of where, that's where I thought, you know, building, I would build PCs full time technically if it's a viable thing. Obviously it's not easy to get into that space and like business thing to do. So streaming is perfectly fine. I'm happy with that.
And sometimes it's nice to keep your passions as a hobby. Sometimes absolutely. It, you know, sours it a little when you have to do it as a job.
Agree. 100% agree. Another job I did because I was doing all that video editing and media at the local church. I got a job at a government department doing MBA, and which was pretty cool. But it was a very small team. Basically a team of two.
And oh my gosh!
The workload was nuts. So for like 5 years, I was doing all the editing, and I was in varying teams to the point where I was just by myself. I was just me.
Wow. Yeah.
And you had to do the lighting, the camera work, the green screen work, the editing, the audio.
That's so much.
All you.
Yeah.
And then produce it and edit it, export it. And then we'll just go onto like an intranet thing where three people will watch it. But,
So much work and so much effort. And it's like.
Exactly. So that really burnt me out on editing. I'm not a huge editor. I can do it all because of all the experience. And I'm trying to get back into it now. On my YouTube channel and things like that. But it's as you said, if you do your passion as your job, you can really kill your passion.
You can.
You gotta be careful, absolutely. As someone who does my passion for my job, previously I had a job where I did everything, and it seems that's very much the trend in the industry these days. They're like, yes, I want one person to film everything and do my social media
And edit it and post
and write it and post it and also make our graphic design things.
It's ridiculous.
It is. And it can be hard when, you know, sometimes I'll have a long edit at work and it's like, okay, I don't know if I can go home and continue editing. But I have to. And so it kind of helps to have fun edits and doing stuff for me and doing stuff that I enjoy definitely helps me from burning out. But it definitely got that way when I was doing less fun stuff. Now I get to edit things that are computers and fun things like that. And whereas previously I edited videos of lights for wholesalers.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
To sell to tradies.
Oh, I'm sure they need a huge high quality video.
That's right.
Yeah, here's a video
the
of
light
the
turns
light.
On and the light turns off.
Done.
Yep.
Amazing.
It sits on, here it is on a spinning platform.
Yeah.
So you can see all angles.
Like a little Lazy Susan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
An electronic Lazy Susan.
My love for Lazy Susans continue.
We definitely have to get one.
They're the best.
That.
Amazing.
It definitely can kill your passion if you're not loving what you create.
And that's true.
You gotta keep
you think, I could do this all day. Maybe
until
not.
You can't. well, speaking of your passions, what have you been playing? What are you loving right now?
Sure. Because I'm big into esports, I've been playing a lot of Valorant. I'm not the highest rank in the world. One day, maybe.
Always the goals. Keep the goals high.
You have to have a goal. If you're at the top, like, what's the point?
That's right. What do you go from there?
It's more fun to climb.
You have to try a different game, and it's just not the same.
Oh.
So, a huge Valorant fan, as per my hoodie here. This one was a special one from the Champions Finals last year, I think it was.
Cool.
It was very cool. And they only made them as a per order kind of item.
Oh, wow. Because, exclusive.
Exclusive and the individually tie-dyed as well. So none of them all look. Oh, wow. Look if you bought by
That's really cool.
That's really cool, yeah.
That makes it unique.
Yeah, for sure. Who's your main or who your main?
Who's my main?
Agent Valorant. Something?
Yeah, agent.
Yes, right. Yeah. Look at me go.
I'm a Raze and KO main.
Oh, I think they are part. They are. I played Valorant kind of when it first came out, and then I just haven't touched it since because I get really like anxious.
Yes.
Like I watch people play, and I'm like, I don't know why. Like it takes me back to like COD when it was like a search and destroy. Like I just can't. I can't deal that anxiety.
I can do TDM where I'm just like
just run around and kill people. But like, and because Valorant has that, like, you know, you got one life. One life, if you get shot in the head, you're failing your team. And then I just get really emotional and can't do it. So what are these two agents' abilities?
Sure. So you've got Raze, who's got a rocket launcher as her ultimate.
Ooh.
She's got satchels. So basically, you got satchels, which you utilize for... You could kill someone with a satchel if you manage to stick them in the face with it. That's pretty fun. but you can use them for movement, basically.
Oh, cool.
So you'd satchel and you boost yourself around the map to get into different locations or to quickly get into a site and you can use your ultimate to kill some enemies. If you've got the info for that. You've got what's called a Boombot, which is basically an information gathering little robot. It's like a Roomba that you can bounce off corners.
Hell yeah.
And it can attack if it sees someone, does some damage. So that's pretty fun. I think. The reason
She's
I
got a cool that, character design.
Yeah.
I just did a quick Google because I know nothing about Valorant. But yeah, that's one of the characters that I'm like, oh, I recognize that one.
Yeah.
I've seen it on the internet.
The character designs in Valorant are, I mean, I'm not surprised because it's Riot, isn't it?
Games,
yeah. So character design, they're all over it. But yeah, the agents they've got are incredible. Like they all look so great.
They're really fun. They're all very unique and individual.
Yeah, absolutely.
And every time they bring out a new character, I'm like, what ability could they possibly pull out that doesn't exist anymore to make it?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's tough on their side design-wise as well.
Oh, right.
Not to duplicate someone's abilities.
Mm-mm. That's it. And what was the other one you mentioned
The other one is KO. K-A-Y-O.
Oh, that's the little robot-y-looking
guy. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
He's really cool because he's got a knife that you can throw out for information. So it kind of does a big... a circular sweep in a sense of the enemies near in a location. When they get pinged, everyone on the team shows up who got pinged. So, you know, okay, there's three enemies over there and these are the agents that are there.
Yep.
So, okay, either rotate or push in or there's one there so it's the site's free. It also disables everyone's utilities. So if they've got grenades or smokes or anything like that, they can't do anything. They can only use their gun. For I think it's like 3 seconds.
Dang, okay.
Which is quite handy. It's annoying, obviously, if you're on the receiving end, but it's quite handy.
Yeah.
And then his ultimate ability, basically, I don't remember the timing on it. I just use it and it works. basically, it's the same sort of thing as the knife where it disables everyone's util ability for X amount of time. And you don't actually die. You go down, you get downed, and people can res you. Without using a healing agent to do that, which is pretty cool. And you have like, I think it's like 900 health. So if people want to stop the ability taking effect that they can't use their util, they have to shoot you to kill you.
But
it takes a long time.
To
do that. Yeah, exactly. So and then he's got, so that's his ultimate. And then he's got two flashbangs as well, which are kind of handy for getting onto side or...
Yeah,
things like that. So they're the two favorites because
cool.
One, I like KO because of his, information gathering skills. Because that's so important, and a lot of people they just get in for the kills. It's cool. I don't know, maybe because I'm a more technical person, I like to know the details about everything.
Yeah,
I want to know what's over there before we jump in and all that.
Exactly. It's very logical, I think. Yeah, for sure. So would you say that when it comes to like a team game, because it seems like you play a few team games. I also saw that you play a bit of Overwatch and things like that. Do you like playing the sort of heroes that do that kind of intel gathering, like sort of finding, you know, sussing things out, bit of Hanzo, like Walbo type situation? Like, is that kind of a role you like to have?
I do, but mostly in Valorant for the info gathering. In Overwatch, I'm a D.Va main.
I've got
450 hours on D.Va.
Oh my gosh! Heck yeah!
So D.Va main on that as a tank, and DPS, Junkrat, and McCree/Cassidy. That's my DPS, and then I'm a bit of a Moira main, and I'm picking up Kiriko quite a bit as well in support.
Okay.
But being a Junkrat and Pharah on the DPS, so kind of like Pharah, Junkrat, and Kree.
Yeah,
And that kind of translated with Junkrat and his mines is very similar to Raze's abilities with the Satchels.
Of course.
So that really not just helped in knowing angles and stuff and how to play it, but I think, that it's kind of a good crossover, a good starting point if you're going to play
it. Yeah, totally.
And you were drunk. Absolutely. At me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I always find it really fascinating how, like, you know, like, for example, in a game like Apex, I'm a pretty good shot in Apex, but it's some reason does not translate to Overwatch. And then again, does, like, you know, like different games, I find my strengths are actually slightly different. And I don't know why that is. Like, it's the same mechanics, but for some reason, like, you know, like, yeah, like in Overwatch, like I do play support, but I play like aim support. So I'll play like BAP or I'll play like Ana. But like that doesn't translate to soldier. Even though I'm still aiming, I'm just aiming at the other people. Like I'm aiming at my team, not them. But somehow I'm a worse shot. It makes no sense. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a mental thing. Like there's more pressure. I don't know. I'm much better at shooting my teammates than the enemies, which
there's an internal conflict there.
Maybe.
It could be. I do find that if you're, on a DPS role, you definitely got to look at your aim in terms of you should go for headshots, basically.
Yeah.
Because that's where, it's really, well, let's say play Call of Duty. Call of Duty. You jump in, you get your SMG, just blast them wherever.
Don't really aim for the head. You can kind of spray and pray.
And you get the next guy. Good. A next enemy comes along and you kill them too. But then you move to Overwatch and there's so many abilities and stuff like that. It's not like, let's say with D.Va, you would use, you try to hit the head, but basically there's so much mass and so many enemies around. You just kind of just shoot that direction.
In the general direction. Yeah, that's right. That's it. Absolutely.
And then you move all the way down to Valorant where it's more precision and more pixel perfect. You have to be. And for the longest time, I would just go in. All I want to do is play a game, have some fun, and that's it. So you'd go in, play, you'd dial up because you're not basically not warming up. So I've started recently going to the range, making sure I can hit all my one-tap headshots with the Vandal at different distances, different angles, then jumping into with the Sheriff as well. So I know I'm solid on both of those two guns. Then I transition straight to the game, maybe do a warm-up match, and then it translates really quickly from the range straight into the actual gameplay because it's a one-to-one kind of thing, and it really helps. And as much as you want to just jump into the game and have some fun, you can do that. That's great. You're not going to be the best shot. But because even pros, every day, they practice. That's
right.
Their yeah.
Any professional, any sport, anything you do, if you're not practicing, the one drill, the one, you know, regimented thing that you have to do to be good at the game, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's exactly it. Like if you start, if you pop into a stream of any of those sort of bigger players of these games, you know, you'll see them in the training range to start off. Like, they don't just start stream and jump straight into a competitive match. Like, they'll be in the training range for like 45 minutes, you know, and you're like, this is why they're better than me.
Quick play and just warming up.
They are just, they're better than me because they're actually like doing the thing, just
making
the
effort.
Yeah. Instead of me playing Overwatch, where every time I die, I take a shot and gradually get worse and worse.
And why am I like losing all my?
Why
rest?
Am I so bad? I'm like four bottles of vodka down. Like, that could be why.
What am I tripping over? Oh, that's all the bottles of vodka.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I'm just gonna like push my way out of the room to fall on my bed. But yeah, so are you a very competitive gamer as well? Are you like in
competitive I'm pretty competitive
ranks?
Like, if if I'm playing Overwatch, if I'm playing Valorant, I like to comm. I feel my biggest pet peeve, if you're in a game that's competitive, that requires team communication, there has to be some sort of rule or setting that you have to have a microphone and you have to comm. Because it's the most frustrating thing in the world. It's like, why didn't you tell me there was an enemy there? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you come? What do you see over there where I'm on the other side of the map?
It makes it hard. Yeah.
Very, very hard. So I like to come because I want to have comms in my game. So I like to come if no one else is coming.
Yeah.
Obviously, having a decent microphone helps.
Yes.
So I'm competitive and I like to put in the hours and the time and effort and try to win because it's fun.
Yeah, totally. And that's one thing I really love about Apex. I'm not sure if you played a lot of Apex Legends,
a little bit of Apex. Yeah,
it has a fantastic ping system.
Yeah.
And I think they also recently, or in the last year or so, made that anyone can take this ping system, so it wasn't exclusive. They actually opened it up to pinch it if you want. And Overwatch has adapted
such a restriction on it.
Because it's can't exactly copy another game's mechanic, but basically they said, look, we know this is so important for accessibility that everyone can have it. So
that's,
I know,
where they
Overwatch
brought it into Overwatch 2.
And Overwatch has got a bit of a ping system now, which is great. You know, if there is someone who can't communicate or for whatever reason, they can still be like, there's an enemy on my ass, can someone help?
Yeah, got the baby next to them, can't wake them up, so they're like, ping, 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 ping.
I got a ping, it still gives people a way to communicate. Because, some form of communication is so important for those.
And I guess, on the other hand, as you brought up, a baby or something like that, I do have to then realize, people are in different situations than me. I'm here by myself, here, focusing on the one thing I want to win, I want to shoot.
Yep.
I don't care about how to win, but you have to take that into account. That's a good point.
It
was always funny playing games with Jono when he'd hop in. And he'd be talking like this because his kids are asleep in the next room and he can't talk loudly. So he starts laughing and he's like, ha, 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 ha. And it's like, this is weird. Please speak
very
normally.
Weird. It's very weird.
But you forget that.
Mm.
Yeah. I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I have neighbours.
That's right. It's 2:30 in the morning and I have neighbours.
But have you ever gotten a complaint?
Not yet.
So just keep going.
It's fine.
You get a complaint, like, all right, I'll dial it down.
That's right. Well, I guess we're kind of getting towards the end of our chat today. We won't keep you for too much longer. But I guess one thing I'd love to hear from you is, you know, if there's someone listening or watching potentially today who kind of wants to be where you are in terms of creating content and having some sick systems beside them, I guess what advice or words of wisdom would you give them to inspire them to sort of follow in your footsteps a little bit?
Sure. So let's say you want to get into content creation. The key is be consistent. But as you may, if you're doing research on this subject, you may have seen a lot of people are giving tips. Let's say if you're a streamer, Twitch is not going to be the platform that you're, if you stream 24 hours a day for a whole week, every week, that's not going to grow your stream. You need to stream three times a week at most, and use those other days for content creation on YouTube. Let's say get those clips that you had your great headshots on in your game on the stream, or any funny moments, things like that, and start building content on your other platforms, on your Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, things like that. because otherwise there's no discoverability on Twitch. Mm. That's the bottom line.
It's so flattering.
Being here for as long as I have, I've got like 4.5, almost 5K followers. The discoverability is zero. It's other platforms that are really going to help. Something really good that just really happened was a new plugin for OBS that lets you bring in your same camera and content, but in a vertical format.
So
if you're lucky enough to have, let's say, you need 1,000 followers on TikTok, you can just to live stream. So you can live stream on two platforms at the same time, because Twitch recently lifted the exclusivity clause that you couldn't stream multiple platforms at the same time of the same content. So that's
so really, interesting. Really good.
Yeah.
I love
that's
that.
My number one tip: if you can hit 1,000 followers on TikTok, mm-hmm. Stream on both platforms at the same time.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, that's revolutionary as well. To like the fact that OBS is like, we've made this easy for you.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, that's a fantastic tip. That tip alone is worth checking out our friend Silicon Art, because clearly knows his stuff. So anyway, thank you so much for joining us today, though.
Pleasure.
It was awesome chatting with you and hearing all about your stories. It was so cool. If you are listening, please, if you want to check out any of our social media, we're on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. What video is going up this week, Keely? I don't know when this is going up. That deer in the headlights expression.
is it going up next week?
I think so. Next week.
CT fan experiment.
Yeah, we do a fun experiment with these brand new fans that we have, so make sure to check that out. We also have a Discord server you can join and hang out in.
I think that's Instagram, because I don't think
Instagram, yes, I know him, Ms. Chun. Check us out on all those. And also, please remember to rate the podcast wherever you listen. 5 stars would be amazing, because it helps other people find the podcast and join in and hear some of the pro strats, like, you know, the ones we heard today. And Silicon Art, I know you have done a fantastic plug earlier, but if you'd like to plug yourself again, feel free. Where can the people go to see more of yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you very much. So, Silicon Art Gaming, Google that. You'll see me everywhere. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Steam, anywhere.
All that good stuff.
All the things. I'll see you all there.
Yeah, you got some great SEO, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, amazing. Well, thank you again for joining us. Hope you had fun.
Absolutely.
And
it was great.
Yeah.
And share this podcast with all your friends.
Yes.
Yeah, share it. If everyone shares it with one person, we'll have 6 people listening.
Oh,
at least.
Yeah. Woo. We're going to be top 10 in, where were we top 10 in one time?
Lately. Oh, we're in top 10 in Chad.
Yes. In
Africa. Lately, we're at 190 in China.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Let's get back to number 1 in Chad. Woo. Woo.
Hopefully we can get in the charts in Australia at some point.
Yes. We'll get there. It's fine. There's no rush. thank you for listening, everyone.